Blog Talk Radio.
Prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Kol Shabbat, family. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom. And welcome to another episode of Study to Show Thyself Approved Unto Yahweh. A workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm your brother Ahab Al, coming to you from Beth Yahweh Congregation in Little Baltimore, Maryland, of USA. And this is the third installment of Study to Show Thyself Approved Unto Yahweh. And we've been discussing, the theme, rather, has been the conspiracy, Shalom Aki, against your salvation.
Right.
You know, and funny how Abba works. You know, because you have something in mind that you want to teach, but then as, you know, you listen to your brothers talk and that word of Yahweh that comes through them is kind of leads your mind in an entirely different direction than where you want to go. And, you know, I was talking to my rabbi, you know, prior to us beginning the lesson and just how, you know, you can look at a particular scripture year after year after year after year after year. And one particular scripture now, I know we've been talking this scripture for at least 20-some-odd years, and it seems like every time we talk about this particular scripture, Yahweh reveals a little bit more about what he's doing and his intent and what our adversary is doing, you know? And it's so funny because, you know, listening to my brother's lesson last night, and, you know, yes, you know, these two lessons are kind of running in conjunction with one another, the beast system and the conspiracy against our salvation, because that is what the beast's intent is to do, is to prevent us from having that union with our Heavenly Father, and to prevent us that when we close our eyes, we don't behold that reality. And it's so funny that, you know, that was put out there, you know, about, you know, what is reality and how do we know what is real? And that's a very profound question, because when you think about what we know within our heart is real and what we have faith in, the rest of the world is being presented with something that they feel wholeheartedly and believe in, but it's false. You know, and I heard what my brother was saying last night, because I was feeling that burden too. You get so bombarded, and it's so funny, the same song he quoted that got him got me too. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, Feliz Navidad. You know, it's playing, and before you know it, you're like, because as a child, you know, these things were planted in your mind, and they don't. One of the things, one of my favorite movies is, it opens up, is what is the most difficult thing to eradicate? He says, is it an intestinal wound? He said, no, a thought, because once that thought, once that seed of that thought is planted in your mind, it never goes away. It will always be there with you. Why? Because there are things within our subconscious which our adversary knows very well how to get us. This thing, this mean machine, this beast, he is in the battle for our minds. Because if he can get our minds, then he can get our thoughts. If he can get our thoughts, then he can eventually probe his way into our soul. And once he gets there, he wants to devour it, and he wants to get us to a place where we don't make it to, as the writer said, vanity of vanities. All is vanities and vexation of the soul. So that when we die, we get so caught up in this stuff that when we die, that his hope and his intent is that when we close our eyes, we get the thing that he's going to get, which is to continue in that darkness and that separation from our Heavenly Father. But that's not what Yahweh wants. And I love when I come in and I see that sign. And it says, you will die and you will meet God. That is what, there's two things that's sure in life, death and taxes. Well, guess what? If you live off the grid, if you're a homeless person, you ain't paying no taxes. But that homeless person, guess what? One day he will close his eyes. And we see plenty of them along the way. They ain't paying no taxes because taxes ain't no assurance. If you ain't making no income that they can track, guess what? They can't tax you. There's a lot of people who evade taxes because they do things off the books. There's a way to avoid taxes, but there's one thing you ain't going to avoid. You ain't going to avoid closing your eyes one day for the final time. But talking about the conspiracy against your salvation, and it is your salvation. No one else can die for you. And when I say that, understand what I'm saying. Yahushua, yes, he died for our sins. And hopefully by accepting him, we will get that reward. But you have to die individually. You have to face Yahweh individually for yourself. You have to cross over into that other side for yourself. And when you do, are you prepared? Because that's all that really matters in this life, is that you prepare for when you close your eyes. And that is a surety. But not to talk a whole lot of gloom and doom, you know, again, one of the things that Abba showed me, you know, and my brother, and it's so funny because I ain't talked to my brother since we went to the retreat. So that's about a month now. We went to the retreat on the 26th of November. So I haven't talked to Ariel since then. But it's so funny that he talked about last night the very same thing, but on a different side, of what I wanted to talk about today. And I tell you, it's been burning in my soul all week long, family. You know, and one of the things is we must depend on Abba Yah and his mighty son Yahushua to interpret for revelation.
Right.
You can read, you can study, you can, and I understand why the scripture says much study is weariness to the flesh. Because
right.
Guess what? I mean, I've heard stories of people, I've read the Bible from front to back, from Genesis to Revelation. Okay, great. Just like Gershon Bedan said, okay, great, good. Now, what did Yahweh reveal to you? It's not even so much what did you learn, because you can learn a lot of falsehoods by just reading the Bible. Because the Bible is not written and interpreted to reveal the truth. And I hate to say that. The Bible is not written and interpreted to reveal the truth. You want to know why? Tell me why, brother. Because in the New Testament, we wouldn't have Jesus in there. In the Old Testament, we wouldn't have the Lord in there. He revealed his name to us. He revealed his son's name to us. So if they interpreted it for us to understand the truth and come into a right relationship with him, they would have translated it word for word and verbatim. But they put in certain passages and translated certain things in a way so that it can trip you up if you just read it from the English. But that's why it's important. No, you don't have to be a Hebrew scholar, but you should at least understand and familiarize yourself with a little bit of Hebrew, just enough so that Yahweh can start to hopefully open your mind a little bit.
Amen.
Because one of the things I am a firm believer in at this point, it's something that Yaakov has been saying for years, revelation, and something Gershon Ben Daniel said years ago, it's not in those books. Because it's not. I remember a brother put a riddle to him, and he shared it with us one time. He said, turn it and turn. You remember that? Turn it and turn it and turn it and turn it. And I can't remember the other part, but the question was, well, what is it? What is it that you turn? And he said the Torah. And that's right. That Torah, you got to turn it and 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 turn it. And hopefully, as you do, and you do it with a sincerity of heart, that Yahweh will say, you know what? I'm going to give you a gem here. I'm going to give you a pearl here. I'm going to give you this ruby here. I'm going to give you this nugget of gold here. I'm going to give you this little bit of silver here. And hopefully you treasure it, because that's one of the things that Yahushua said. He said, don't store up treasures in this world that the moths are going to eat up and the rust is going to destroy. He said, no, store up your treasures which are in heaven, that your Father, that will enrich you spiritually so that you can have this right relationship with your Father. You know, one of the things I dislike the most about this year, and I got to say it, there is no such thing as a happy Hanukkah. There isn't. There's no such thing as a happy Hanukkah, family. There is. What does Hanukkah mean? Dedication, right? Okay. And what did our brother reveal that took place during that time? Because we at one point was drinking that Kool-Aid. We at one point was drinking that Kool-Aid. Oh, there was a miracle and the oil and the no. But then my brother said, no, we need to study this a little bit further. And one of the things that we found out is what? At one point, because of the bloody battle that our ancestors fought so that we can preserve preserve the ways of Yahweh, not even our heritage, they fought that battle for Yahweh so that Yahweh's temple wouldn't be defiled, so that Yahweh's ways wouldn't be destroyed. That's what they fought that battle for and gave their lives for. We saw that it was a bloody battle. Even the most valiant men at one point lost their lives. So we can't get caught up in this happy Hanukkah. First of all, what month are we in right now? We're in the 10th month?
Yeah.
So that means Hanukkah, which they're celebrating right now. Huh? Yeah, so we're in the 10th month, right? Okay, so now Hanukkah came in, what, Monday? Sunday night? Or whatever they said it was, right? Okay, so that means what day they're keeping is not Hanukkah. This isn't Hanukkah. Because if it's in the 9th month, right? Right? On a particular day in the 9th month, that means it was some point within this last new moon, days before it just came in, because this month is just ending, right? So we got to be mindful of these things. Don't look at that calendar and say, oh, yeah. No, we got watchmen in here that are telling us every month when they come in. And when that ninth month came in, we were supposed to count them days if we're thinking about it. You know, one of the things that, you know, the brothers and I got another brother we could talk that word with on it, y'all. Welcome aboard, Brother Yara Al. You know, and when you look at the Passover, right? Now, the Passover, Yahweh automatically builds in a makeup day if you are unable to keep it for particular reasons, not just because you ain't feel like going, right? But what, and what are the two reasons? Because you are either unclean by way of, a dead body, and what's the other one? You're on a far journey, right? You're out of town. You can't make it back to keep that feast. But you know what I realized he did with Hanukkah? And when we understand the story, he allowed, because of their dedication, because they fought that battle and they were unable to keep one of the feasts that we love the most, which is Sukkot, he said, you know what? Y'all fought valiantly. I'm going to honor this period that y'all are setting aside. So he's given us, not only he built in a makeup day for Passover, but he also allowed Hanukkah to be kept. So that way, if you want to dedicate yourself, not to go out in the field and do it the way you do it during Sukkot time, but if you want to set apart this side now to cleanse yourself and to dedicate yourself to him, he accepts it. But not with no nine-branch Hanukkah, because it's not the menorah. This is the menorah. What Yahweh says is the menorah. That's what he says. And if you want to know where the eighth light is, where is the eighth light? Where's that eighth light, family? Where's the eighth light? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Where's the eighth light? Yahweh is the eighth light. See, you got to draw from energy is what? What's the first law of thermodynamics?
Neither created nor destroyed.
But you can bring it into existence. He said, ye are the light of the world. Right or wrong? It takes one person to create a light in order to light these lights. So that's the eighth light. That's the eighth light. You are that eighth light. You see what I'm saying? Not what's on some Hanukkah that puts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, a ninth light. No, that's creating your own light. Yahweh said, we're supposed to remember this.
Right.
And that light that he placed within us by his son Yahushua is what we use to light these lights now. You see what I'm saying? So let's not get caught up in this false light that they've created.
Right.
Sure, it may be nice for the kids and all that sort of stuff or whatever, but guess what? There are a lot of nice things that are nice for the kids but aren't necessarily good for you. Because everybody that keeps, as my brother calls it, the last, this trinity, starting from Halloween all the way now to Christmas, he calls it the unholy trinity, that we start from Halloween all the way. It's all about the kids. You know, the people on my job always, well, what about your kids? I understand why you don't keep it, but you don't like it. That's mean. You mean to your kids. They'll get over it. They'll be all right. We don't need to keep Christmas. They don't need to keep Christmas. They need to understand the truth about Christmas, and they need to understand the truth about Hanukkah.
Right.
Going around and getting caught up in this false light is no different than the other false light. It's a lie. And we cannot get so giddy and so caught up that we forget that it's supposed to commemorate a bloody battle that our forefathers fought and gave their lives for because of their dedication to Yahweh. And they were under siege and could not keep the joyous feast of Sukkot. And they were so distraught, even though they fought that bloody battle, that they were like, man, we got to set some time aside in order to rededicate ourselves and rededicate the temple. Let's not forget that, man. Let's not. That's important. If you're talking about keeping it, oh, my sister told us I came to turn it, and turn it again. That's what you're supposed to do with this word. But anyway, I'm digressing. So, something that Yaakov said last Shabbat, the great lesson, had me glued to it. I couldn't take my ears out of it from listening to it. But one of the things that he said was, he asked two questions. And one question is, what took place at Sinai, right? He said, what happened at Sinai? Right? You answered it, though. You answered it. I understand. So, look, you can't be responsible sometimes for what you say up here, because if you let yourself go and let Yahweh talk, guess what? If there's no record of it, It's gone. Unfortunately, we don't take the second lesson. But you answered the question. When he said, what happened at Sinai? Do you remember?
Yes.
What was the answer?
Covenant.
A covenant. What type of covenant? Hallelujah. But that's what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to tell you, man, Abba is so good, boy. I researched. I said, what? As much as Abba, you show you just, you know, you say, boy, cigarette time. That was one of them, boy, you sat back. Cigarette, let me make you some eggs and buttons, Abba, because this was a good one. So we're going to talk about Daniel. And I tell you, man, in this day and age, Daniel's book is very real.
Yeah.
You know, it's very Daniel, Jeremiah. If you want to know what we're up against in this day and age, because Daniel represents that beast. He does. He that captivity they were in represents that beast. But what Jeremiah, because they were contemporaries, they were in the same captivity. But what Jeremiah represents is what we're going to face with the people. See, Daniel with Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar. That was showing what the system was going to do to us during this captivity. But Jeremiah talks about what the people were going to do, or what state the people were going to be in during that captivity. And, you know, it's so funny because, you know, brothers, guys on my job always share stuff with me because, they're on Facebook and all that sort of stuff. And they shared this thing with me where they were talking about the brother who got killed by the police on the west side. And, you know, the uproar about that. And where's the uproar for this young lady who was killed on the east side in her salon? And he posed the difference between the two of them. He said, wait a minute. Y'all had a riot and y'all protested because the police killed somebody who had an extensive criminal record and also was in them streets. But then when you look at this young lady, 21 years old, she had a degree, she was a successful young business lady, and because she tried to stand up against an injustice that was done to her, she was killed. She went out on them streets, but she wasn't going to stand down from what somebody did to her. So then they popped this lady in her head in front of her child, and it's on a broad daylight. So the brother posed that, say, why y'all ain't protesting? Why y'all not protesting?
Right.
And you should have heard. I mean, they want to crucify this brother, but he spoke the truth. Y'all up in arms when the police do it, but you just gonna stand down when we do it to each other?
Right.
Why ain't nobody turn this man in? He slaughtered a mother in front of her child,
right.
And there's no outcry. There's no outrage.
Right.
Y'all not finding this individual and turning him into the police? But you know what they did online? If they could have caught this man, you should have seen some of the responses that this man got for speaking the truth. But when Jeremiah spoke the truth, who was the ones who rose up against him? Who tossed him in the dungeon? Not the Babylonians. Not the Babylonians. Israel says, put him in the darkest part of the dungeon. Because he's telling us about our wrong. That's our people. That's our people. Prophesy unto us smooth things. Tell us what the Most High saying. Tell us about this and that, what the Most High, the Most High, the Most High, the Edomite, the Amalekite. Tell us about that. But don't tell us about the truth about what we're doing, because darn it, they're going to kill you. We got a rough road against us, family. We're talking about what the system's going to do. You think our people want to hear the truth? You think our people want to be told that they're wrong? Our people out here crazy. Y'all have no idea how crazy it is out there in the streets. These people crazy out here. These young people, they done got hardwired. Anyway, sorry, man. I getting a little back. But we're going to start in the book of Jeremiah. But before I do that, let me read the keynote scripture for today, fam. My brother touched on it last night. Daniel 7:25. He said, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. My brother thought of it. And think to change times and laws. Now, when you hear that, what thought comes to your mind? I got to take this sweater off. I'm about to get into a puddle up here. It's 50 some odd degrees outside, family. You got that heat up in here like it's 20 degrees out there. It's going to be 60 degrees today. Woo! Yes, I'm cooking, and maybe. So when you hear that and think to change times and laws, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Times and laws. But the times and laws part, what do we think when it comes to laws, right? The Torah, right? And shall be given into his hand until a time, and dividings of time. That is the most confusing sounding statement ever. But when you go to it in Hebrew, it makes a lot of sense when you look at it in context of the entire chapter, which my brother read last night. I don't think I have to read it again, but I think maybe I will. Okay. But he talks about the four beasts. But what is it? What is, other than the beast, what is the most, the subject of this chapter, other than the beast? What is the subject of chapter 7? For anybody who read it, or anybody who listened to my brother's teaching last night, what is the subject of chapter 7? The dream. And within the dream, he showed him these four beasts. But as we get to the interpretation and what he saw, let me read it. The state of the world. Well, what in particular about the state of the world? Okay, and what else though? You said it last night. How it affects the saints, how it affects the believers in Yahweh. You said it last night. That is the key point of this chapter. He's letting you know this system, sure, there's going to be these governmental systems that are going to rise up, and they're going to be four distinct entities that rise up, and there's one that's going to sit until the Ancient of Days comes and he overthrows it, that this one last kingdom, this fourth beast, which was diverse, had teeth of iron, all this. But the main thing is how it's going to affect the believers. That's the only reason why he's telling this to Daniel. He ain't telling him because of how it's going to affect the rest of the world. He's telling him specifically on how it's going to affect the believers. Right or wrong? Because when we get to 727, right? And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and dividing of time. Why can they just say he's going to have a period of time that this is going to be done within? Because it makes it sound really confusing. But we're going to get to that in a minute, right?
Yes.
But let's take a look. We're going to do an interactive journey on this one today, fam.
Right.
All right? We're going to do an interactive journey. Now, my brother said Torah, right? When we said times and laws. But let's look at times and laws. Because that's going to give us a little bit more insight. Yes, it is talking about, the seasons and all this type of stuff, because we're coming into New Year and they got everybody thinking that the New Year is going to begin on midnight on January 1st and we're going to enter into 2020 and all this type of stuff, and the ball's going to drop and everybody's going to count and everybody's going to reset and get broke for another year, pay off their bills and go broke for another year, right? So, yes, he has changed time. He has told us, and this system has affected us in the point that we are now operating within a system that dictates their rule as opposed to what Yahweh says. Because when does the new year begin for the people of Yahweh? Abib, right? Okay. So when we look at times, we see right here, Zaman, seasons, right? To set aside a time for a special occasion. Right? Isn't that what they've done? We're in this special occasion. The 25th to the 1st is a special occasion. And if you don't keep Christmas, guess what? Kwanzaa is doing this time. Right or wrong? We at Kuji Jakalia one of them days now, ain't we? Right? Because Kwanzaa falls in between the 25th and the 1st. Do it not? Right? My black nationalist? But this time is set aside. But you want to know how confusing the world? You know how many different New Years there are in the world? Ethiopians have their own New Year. I found this out from Sammy down on the job. I didn't know the Ethiopians had their own New Year. The Chinese have their own New Year. So which New Year is a New Year? Aviv won. That's the only New Year. That's it. That's the only New Year. There is no other New Year. But look at how, like my brother said, the beast system. You think about it. When it talks about how diverse they are, well, you got all these different cultures that have New Year's at different times. Well, who got the right New Year? And when you think about the logic behind when Abba says to begin his year, it only makes sense. It only makes sense, right? So that word is, in Hebrew is 2166 is Zaman, right? And it's specifically, and it says the same in, you know, Strong's Concordance, it's 2165. And appointed occasion, season, I mean, it's football season. That's when you think about it, basketball season, football season. It's just saying a set-aside time for a particular event or special occasion. That's all it really signifies. That's all it does. Because when you think about year, there's a different word for year. And even and when you look at throughout the entire book of Daniel, he deals with this word a lot, seasons, occasions, times, because there are set-aside times. Hanukkah is not a holy day. It's not a festival day, but it's a seasonal occasion that takes place. Everybody understand? Everybody written on that? Okay. But then, let's look at this term right here for laws. Because I thought I was going to see Torah. But what is the word there, family? Doc. And what is doc? Doc. In that verse. It says of uncertain, perhaps foreign derivation, a royal edict or statute, commandment, commission, decree, law. Okay, so it's not Torah. I see that eye like that, right? Because your wheels are turning. But it's something that goes out that can be looked at with a certain amount of force. Right? Is that what you're seeing? Okay. That's why I got the squinty eye going on. So it may not necessarily be the Torah per se, but it is an edict. It's a decree. It is something that can be looked at with a certain amount of force or enforcement behind it. Right? All right. Remember what you told us last week about who we are, because we're going to see that. Abba showed this to me. I was like, what? What? So let me look. Let's go to another scripture before we go there. We're going to go to Jeremiah 3:8, family. But keep that in mind. Keep that word right there in mind. 1882. Dot. Diggity dot dot. Keep that in mind, family. All right. And the funny part about it is, you only really you see the majority of that word dot 1882 between Esther, and between Daniel. You don't see it anywhere else in the scriptures. You don't see it in the Torah. But Yahweh hid it in the Torah in a special situation, just so that way he could say, "I want y'all to know who y'all are to me, and I want you to know what you're up against." Man. So we're gonna go to Jeremiah 3:8. Something that when you asked that question last week, I sat there and I really pondered it, you know, because, you know, me and my singing sisters, we was talking about that that song and Sounds of Sinai. Y'all do. Y'all familiar with that song? Y'all do. And we talked about it and he said, what is that? When Yahweh gave that edict, gave that commandment, that was the marriage ceremony between him and Yisrael. And Yisrael saying, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? I do. Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Did I say that right? I do. Right? And Israel, when Yahweh said, all that you say we will hear and we will do. I do. Right? Okay. Jeremiah 3:8. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery. Who commits adultery? When is adultery committed? Between two people who are espoused to one another, right? Okay, who have a covenant with one another, because that's what you said last week, right? Covenant. There's a covenant, right? Marriage is a covenant, right? And he says, and I saw when for all causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister, Judah, feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Hmm? So what do we see there? He's got two wives within the nation, right? He got two wives within the nation. He got Israel and he got Judah. It's one nation. But we know that Israel split apart. Israel went astray. The nation split apart. Israel went one direction, but Judah stayed faithful. But now he's illustrating, yo, Judah, you done went astray too. I thought I had a good relationship with the two of y'all when y'all split apart. Israel, you went your way? All right, cool. I have to give you a bill of divorce. But now, Judah, you too, the one who the nations will praise Yah? You went astray too? Hold up. I mean, do we understand the depth of the relationship that Yahweh has with us as a nation? Huh? Come on, y'all. Walk with me, please. All right. I think I want to... Third chapter. Yeah. All right. One second, y'all. All right. Now we're going to go to Jeremiah. Do I want 31? Hold on a second. My notes failed me. So I shouldn't depend on technology. I'll come back to it. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes, it's still in the third chapter. My bad, family. Forgive me. All right. But I started with different, but I'm going to go back and read the whole chapter. Okay. Yes, sir. We're still in Jeremiah chapter 3. So I'm starting at verse 1. They say, and who is they? If a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man, shall he return unto her again? That's Torah, right?
Amen.
All right. And he says, shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith Yahweh.
Amen.
Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast been lean with. And when you look at that word lean, I don't know why they spelt it like that, like lean against something you own, like I've had that happen to me with judgment. No, he's talking about laying with them. He's talking about the better copulation. He's like, yo, y'all sleeping around on me. Y'all done brought men into our marriage chamber. Y'all done brought men into our bed. In the ways hast thou, back to 3:2, lift up thine eyes into the high places and see where thou hast been leaned with. In the ways hast thou sat for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. 3:3. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the God of my youth? What do we see right there? Thank you. So now when we see when Yahushua came, what was one of the things that Yahushua made sure he instilled in Israel when he came on the scene? Don't call him God. Don't call him Mighty One. Don't call him Power. Call him Abi. So we see that right there in Jeremiah. This is where Yahushua is actually pulling that from. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, Abi, thou art the God of my youth. 3:5. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou could. He said, you did all the evil you could to me. There's no other nation. We read it every Shabbat. He knows no other nation that knows Abba this way. So there's no other nation that could have hurt their creator, their God, the way Israel did, because he didn't have this relationship. He don't have this relationship with the Moabites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites. He don't have this type of relationship, this level of intimacy where he opens himself up and reveals himself to any other nation. They don't know him like that. Sure, from borrowed testimony, but when it comes to his significant other, when it comes to who he is in bed with, you know, they have things amongst married people called pillow talk. He don't have pillow talk with no other nation. He don't whisper sweet nothings to no other nation besides Israel. But we're going to see what the nations are trying to do. He says, 3:4, wilt thou not cry this time, from this time unto me, my father, thou art the God of my youth. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. 3:6. Yahweh also said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when from all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. 3:9. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with rocks. 3:10. And yet for all this treachery, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly saith Yahweh. Do you understand what's happening right here? So he's saying that there are people who are out there that are saying Yahweh, but really in their heart, when he says feignedly say Yahweh, when you look at what that word means in Hebrew, you ain't sincere with your quote unquote promotion of the name Yahweh. You're not sincere with it. You faking the funk, is what he's saying. You faking it. And Yahweh said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Because at least Israel, right? At least Israel, she just went all out. She went ham. I'm going to keep Christmas. I'm going to eat pork. She did everything to defile herself. But yet Judah in her pride, we praise Yah. We praise Yah. We praise Yah. We praise Yah. Yahweh is our God. Yahweh is our God. Yahweh is our God. Won't we keeping Christmas, y'all? When did Israel keep Christmas, y'all? And it's not even so much talking about the feast per se, but how they were fake in what they were doing and claiming, oh, hallelujah, but the whole time you really not sincere in your walk towards Yahweh. And Yahweh said, I can accept Israel for what they're doing, but Judah now, y'all was bigging yourself up. Well, we ain't do what Israel did. She went on and did what she did, but, you know, we kept ourselves pure. That's what he's saying right here. So now you in a worse state, Judah. Man. You in a worse state. You treacherous. 3:12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith Yahweh, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge, 3:13, only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against Yahweh thy Elohim and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. Ye have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahweh. And why during this time? They taking them green trees out of that forest. And we see what Israel. Did y'all see that story on the news about that woman and her son? And here it is in this day and age, a sister got her child so caught up in the Christmas that it made news because her son was unable to send a letter to Santa Claus. I thought we had done away with that garbage years ago. I thought this was something they was doing, the Europeans. I was shocked to see this sister made headline news because the mail carrier was just so nice to wait so that he can get his car, his letter off to St. Nicholas to tell him what he wanted. Wow! By the time I was his age, I was finding the gifts before the season came in. Me and my sister used to play. We used to play with our gifts before we unwrapped them. We had a whole system of how we used to do that joint. I remember now. Remember how it went back in the box. Remember, go get the tape. Remember, they had the clear tape. We would put the tape on everything. I knew my parents knew, but it didn't matter. We was playing with them gifts before we got them on the 25th. So I been knew. I knew this from the time. I'm telling my friend, I ain't no Santa Claus. My mother, my gifts was under my bed on the 20th on Corvette's big sale. But this sister got her 10-year-old child. Really believe. And he's like, did you see it? Nobody else seen the news report? Oh, my goodness. And he was just like, well, Santa Claus, he goes to all the kids' houses, and he makes sure all the kids got all the gifts that they want. You saw it? Man, I was hurt. Man, me and my wife sitting there like, for real? In this day and age, you going to give all your hard work and glory to some fat? I wasn't trying to go there, but for real? But anyway, I'm sorry, y'all. I digress. 3:14 Turn, O backsliding children, saith Yahweh, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you passes according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Pray for us, family. Pray for us. And I shall come, and it shall come to pass, 3:16 And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith Yahweh, they shall no more say, the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall they be done any more. At that time, 3:17 at that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh, and the nation shall be gathered unto it, the name of Yahweh to Jerusalem, to the name of Yahweh to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto their fathers. But I said, how should I put thee among the children? This is 3:19 And give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of the nations. And I said, thou shalt call me my father, shalt not, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. 3:20 Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith Yahweh. A house with a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten Yahweh, their mighty one. 3:22 Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art Yahweh, our Elohim. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitudes of the mountains. Truly in Yahweh, our mighty one, is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against Yahweh, our mighty one, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of Yahweh, our mighty one. Man. The key point out of there I want everybody to bear in mind, though, is the fact that he refers to Israel as his wife, his spouse, and also as his children, and he is their father and their husband. Okay?
Amen.
We can't forget about times and laws.
Amen.
So now in searching, I said, yeah, what's the times and laws? I said, look a little further, dig a little deeper.
Amen.
You know, what is he referencing? Because if he's not talking about the Torah, what decree or what edict is he talking about? So Abba said, look to the marriage. Look to the marriage of Yisrael. And where did the marriage take place? Back on Sinai. But it's something that Moshe said in double words in Deuteronomy that stood out. But let's take a look, family. Shall we? Shall we go? Walk with me, family. And tell me if you see what I see. And I hope you do. So, we're going to Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter. And this is the blessing wherewith Moshe, the man of Elohim, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, Yahweh came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law. What a fiery law. Let's take a look at what he means by this fiery law. Shall we? And when Abba showed me this, I had to say, hold up. Now, this word, Hebrews 7:9-9, let's take a look at it, family. Walk together. That word is eshtak. Is it or is it not? Why do they translate this as fiery law? And to put people in the mind to think that it's the Torah. So let's do something. Let's break this word down. Now, fact check me on this. How many times does this word appear in Scripture? H dot. Aleph, Shem, Dalet, Tau. How many times does it appear in Scripture? Seven. Huh? Only one time. I got a Yakel gem out of that one, boy, because he come up with that one. He'd be like, it only came up one time. And I said, this only happened. The word, this word, fiery law, H dot only appears one time in Scripture. But they translate it as fiery law. Break those four letters down for me, fam. Separate those letters. Make two words out those letters for me. We got dot. What's the first word? Aleph Shem, right? A fiery decree, right? I see you going back in with your head. Because your email is Samaria Aishet Yahweh. What is he? He's your Ish, right? So Ish is also another term for your husband.
Right?
Isha is wife, right? So wait a minute. So this is a husband decree? A husband law? Walk with me now, family. So now this dot that they're trying to change is what? Go back to 725. And he will think to change times and laws. What is he trying to change? The marriage contract! He's trying to break the solemn vow. Am I the only one seeing this? The beast is trying to break the marriage up between Yahweh. He thinks he can do it. By what? How are you going to replace? How are you going to do it? Get him a new wife, right? But he said he thinks he can do that. Yahweh said, I'm not divorcing Yisrael. Who is he not divorcing? So where are these other people coming up trying to take hold of Israel's heritage? Are y'all walking with me? Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? Are y'all saying what I'm saying? Like, don't just not just tell me y'all saying it. Yahweh said, I'm not divorcing Yisrael. Me and Yisrael together forever. He said, just turn back to me and I'll accept you back. That's what the prophet said on behalf of Yahweh. But they think in Daniel that they could change that. They think they can bring about a divorce by adopting the ways of Yisrael. Am I the only one saying it? Give me a witness. Give me a hallelujah.
Yeah.
It cannot be changed.
That's right.
The divorce will never happen between Yahweh and Yisrael.
No.
Never between the nations. Sure, individuals may die, but Yahweh is forever married to Yisrael.
Right.
But the beast will think to change that. Do y'all see it?
Yes.
Let's read it some more, family. Walk with me. Read this with me.
Hallelujah.
The beast will think to change the relationship between Yahweh and Israel and Judah, but Yahweh said never.
Right.
But that's what they're doing inside the belly of this beast, my brother. That's what they're trying to do. They got us in the iron furnace thinking that will melt away.
Right.
But you know what happens in the iron furnace? What's that stuff, my brother? With silver? When you burn up silver? The dross. See, Yahweh just getting rid of the dross. Because when he decked himself, when he bling himself out in the end, he's going to be with his people.
Right.
They can't change that.
Right.
Back to Deuteronomy. I'm here with you. They think they can change this by giving us Hanukkah. Don't give me no happy Hanukkah, and it's not during that season. An egg at the Passover Seder? No! He wants a pure people to come back to him, family. A fiery law. See, and when you look at it, he's letting you know, I done tattooed myself on y'all. I'm etched in y'all. See what I'm saying? This ain't going nowhere. This relationship I got with y'all, guess what? Y'all will never break it. As much as you try, I made a relationship with Yisrael. I espoused you. I went and I found you in the wilderness. I found you to be my wife. Ask yourself, why did Reuben do what Reuben did? And why it caused him to lose his place? See, a son. Ask yourself why he did what he did. He knew what we was. He knew the type of person that we was. But he said, he'll marry Israel. And he don't care. He love you, crust in the eye, stinking breath, rusty feet. He take you to, I love you just the way you are. That's what Yahweh says to Israel. Let's read some more, family. And it has nothing to do with race, ethnic origin. If you're Yisrael, you are Yisrael, and he loves you for that period. If you say, I love you, Yah, and I give myself to you, and I accept your son, Yahushua, you are automatically Yisrael. That's what makes Yisrael, not blood lineage. He let that go a long time ago. But he says, I'm going to preserve the few to keep my word to Abraham. I got to keep my word. But this is a free gift to all the nations. And that in the Torah, that's in the prophets. Didn't the mixed multitude come out of Egypt? Okay. So let's go back and read this. This is beautiful. And the heading is Moshe's final blessing on Yisrael. And this is the blessing with which Moshe, the man of Yah, blessed the children of Yisrael before his death. And he said, Yahweh came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of his saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Woo! Yay! He loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet, and one shall receive of thy words. Moshe commanded us a Torah, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Shema Yisrael, hear Yahweh, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi, he says, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy holy one. Who else jacked that, family? Y'all remember? Isn't that Princeton's logo? Remember we studied that? So they think they can jack that too. Think about it. Is it Princeton or Yale? Yale. Yale puts up there the Urim and the Thummim. What you got that for? You ain't Yisrael. But that's your logo? So now y'all think y'all joined to Yahweh? No, you ain't. Not in your falsehood, you not. Deuteronomy 33:8. And of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. Who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, or knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifices upon thy altar. What are we supposed to be? Somebody taught on that. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. 33:11. Bless Yahweh, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of Yahweh shall dwell in safety by him, and Yahweh shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Do y'all know what that means when he says that he shall dwell between his shoulders? He's going to carry him on his back. You know, like how you carry a child on his back? That's what he means by dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph means he's protected. And of Joseph, he says, blessed of Yahweh, blessed of Yahweh be his hand for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that couches beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Hallelujah. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. That there's no unicorns in the Bible. Can somebody just look that up for me real quick?
Yeah.
It's just a bull with horns. But just like my brother said last night, for future listeners, sometimes you got to clarify. Because they'll go, there's unicorns in the Bible. I'm trying to put this. What is it?
Yeah.
A wild bull. That's all it is. That's all. A bucking bull. That's all it is. Ain't no one horned horse sneezing out rainbows. Ain't none of that. Deuteronomy 33:17. His glory is like the firstlings of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar, in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of the treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad, he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver and was he seated, and he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of Yahweh, and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessings of Yahweh, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the mighty one of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal mighty one is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone, the fountain of Yaakov, and shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Oh, didn't they jack that too? Don't they use corn and wine in a particular ceremony? Which ceremony is that, Aki? That's right, the Freemasons, whenever they make a new temple, that's where they feel like they can do things in order to trick Yahweh into, see, they think they could go through, they think they could go through trickery you think you can fool Yahweh? You cannot fool Yahweh into accepting you through your works. You can only be acceptable to Yahweh by being obedient to him and having Yahushua as your personal savior. That's it. No rituals, no hocus pocus, none of that stuff. But he ends off with this, 33:28, family. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Yaakov shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down too. 33:29. Happy art thou, O Yisrael, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by Yahweh. the shield of thy help, who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, who they shall think to change times, and they think they can change, but they going to be found to be liars. You hear what Yahweh is telling us? Who? I'm going to read that again. Happy art thou, O Yisrael, who is like unto thee, O people saved by Yahweh, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. Thy enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Shalom, family. Unless y'all got anything y'all want to add, that's all Yahweh wanted me to read to y'all today. That when the beast thinks he can change times and laws, you can't change Yahweh's seasons. You can't change what Yahweh has set forth by his word into the earth. And when Yahweh says, Israel, I'm a husband to you, you ain't changing that with the nation. You might think you can do it. You might think by calling yourself whatever you want to call yourself, but you will always be just an ish. And I'm not talking about no color. I'm even talking about those out there who still want to hold on to that name, that false name, Jesus, and won't accept Yahushua. I'm talking about our Hebrew Israelite brothers, too, because y'all think y'all could trick Yahweh into accepting you by what you do, and you cannot.
Amen.
You cannot.
Amen.
You cannot do it. If you do not accept Yahweh, if you do not accept Yahushua, you're not getting into the kingdom. Neither are you allowing others to get into the kingdom. And we see it in the midst of our congregation sometimes, that foolishness creeps in here, and guess what it causes people to do? Go astray. Because they ain't got the truth. They ain't got the truth. Not at all. And I'm not saying here we 100% got the truth, but Abba Yah, by his mercy and his grace, lead us and guide us. Correct us when we go astray, Yahweh. Lead us back, Father, and keep us in the way. Hedge us up, Father. Hedge us up. Because, again, the last week, none of us come up here with the intent to teach falsehood and lies. None of us come up here with the intent to try to lead anybody astray. None of us come up here with that intent. And if at any point that happens, well, Yahweh, remove that individual.
Amen.
Because that means he's not worthy to be your teacher. He's not worthy to be your pastor. He's not worthy to be one of your shepherds. And if at any point that evil, that darkness enters into my heart, I pray Yahweh remove me. I don't ever want to come up here and lie to my family.
Amen.
Lie to the people that I love.
Amen.
Lie to the people I care about more than anybody else in this world. I would never do that.
Amen.
Never. And it hurts me for anybody to accuse me or any one of my brothers for doing that. Sure, are we always 100% right? No, but guess what happens when we find out that we come right up here. We don't try to justify it by putting up some fancy words and try to bring a scripture here and make it fit like this is Lego pieces. No, we say I was wrong and I apologize for being wrong. I stand corrected.
Amen.
If you can name any other congregation or any people out there on YouTube who will say that, bring them to me. Bring them forth. But you will accept any one of their lies over anything these brothers say in here. And don't nobody force you to do nothing in this congregation. Nothing. And I'm glad we few in numbers. And I hope we continue to be few in numbers. I don't want to be some big party organization that leads tons of people astray. Because guess what? One day you will die and you will see your creator. And that is my biggest personal fear and concern. That one day I got to one day I'm going to be cold just like my Zakeem was when I touched his body, just like my rabbi was when I touched his body,
Amen.
Just like my brothers were when I touched their bodies.
Amen.
And one day maybe y'all might have to carry me and put me into my final resting place for this show. But that which is in me that is eternal has to go back to its creator.
Amen. Amen.
And that's the part. He says, don't fear him who can destroy the body. Fear him who can destroy body and soul. That means the soul can die too.
Amen.
And that I don't want.
Amen.
And I ask my brothers and sisters in all sincerity, if at any point I go astray, especially if I come up here and I say anything wrong, yank me up. Stephen Houston.
This is for the fans.
Oh, you okay? You good? Go ahead.
For the fans. So I seen him. Actually, he tried to hide it from me. And then the co-worker that he was eating lunch said, you know, your brother over here eating pizza. Oh, eating pizza? Not you, Mr. Hacker. That's the wrong thing. Not you. You ain't supposed to eat no pizza. All right, bro, my bad. I'm sorry. I don't do it no more. I said, okay, bro, don't let me catch you in that pizza no more. All right? You got high cholesterol. I'm worried. I want you having no heart attack no more. So, I got hungry one day. I was working real hard, and I didn't get to have a lunch break. So, like, it had to be around 3 o'clock. So
right.
Two witnesses came. So, going to the pizza spot, I'm like, you know, you think you're sick of this? Nobody will catch me. Even got the two people put in one box. I come out of the corner, who come hit me? Fresh off the bat. Shalom, I'm like, Shalom, I keep my youth. And guess who else come around the corner? Oh! I got busted by both of them. I said, well, I ain't got high cholesterol. Yes, you do. You and the high cholesterol. That was Monday.
Oh, man.
I figured so yesterday. Man, it got heavy. Mr. Sam's lady, so I said, I'm getting two slices of pizza. Right? You have to tell him, my brother, man, I ain't getting no pizza, man. I'm good. I'm good. Y'all busted me. I'm good. I'm going to change my weight.
Thank you for putting your words in our
and our brothers to edify us, Father. Thank you for building them up so they can build us up, Father. Thank you for your revelation, Father. Thank you for sharing just a little bit more of your word with us, Father, bringing us to a clear understanding of exactly what you're talking about, Father, because some people believe that you are general. This word is generalized. It's very specific. You want us to know exactly what's going on, when it's going to happen, and all those things, Father, so we'll be fully aware, Father. You're not leaving us in the dark about anything, Father. We thank you for the breath of life. We ask you to forgive us for all our sins. We ask you to protect everybody who's on their way here, wherever they're going to serve you, wherever they're at in the world, Father, to give you praise, glory, and honor during your Shabbat that you set apart for us, Father. We thank you. We just ask that you continue to put your word on our brother, Shabbat, as he continues to bring forth more of your revelation, Father.
Amen.
Open up his mind, open up his heart, open up his mouth to speak only what's only pleasing to you, Father.
Amen.
That we may continue to grow.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. We're just eternally grateful, Father. Eternally grateful, Father. Thank you for accepting us as your wife, as your daughter, and never leaving us, Father. Never leaving us. So we'll know for a surety, Father, that we'll always be, as long as we stay within your will, we'll be together, Father.
Yeah.
In Yahushua's name, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To blue. Yeah.